There was one result of all this. That was that Longshanoid culture became more and more homogeneous over a large area of northern China, rather like the homogeneity which was applied to the British Empire by the British colonial authority. You get many common artifacts, many common fighting weapons in particular, commonalities in architecture, commonalities in settlement layout. This was a volatile time politically. It was also a time of fighting and violence. How do we know this? Because for the first time, earthen fortifications appear. They surround large Longshanoid settlements. These were formidable defenses. The people built walls constructed of rammed earth, rammed tight down, laid between parallel lines of timber shuttering. Some of these defenses were up to 35 feet thick. The layers of earth were compacted by workers with long poles until the accumulating earth reached the desired height. Here we see another characteristic of Chinese civilization: the expenditure of enormous quantities of labor on works which are to the royal good, or to the good of the elite, or for some purpose like defense. The area enclosed in these Longshanoid settlements by these rammed earth fortifications ranged from as little to 2 to no less than 42 acres. A vast undertaking by any standards to build these huge walls around them. We know these were warlike times from another clue as well. In dry wells, we find the skeletons of decapitated sacrificial victims, and also under the earthen platforms which were the foundations for the houses of chiefs and other members of the small elite, we find dozens of human sacrifices. There was already emerging a vast chasm between Athenian elite and the common farmer, the artisan, and the people. They were the labor who labored for the few. The elite of this Longshanoid societies displayed their power and wealth in other ways that were to become characteristic also of later Chinese civilization. Longshanoid potters made a highly distinctive form of glossy black pottery, constructed with a potter's wheel, so it could be produced in large quantities. Not only were these beautifully made and very standardized, but these vessels were fired in kilns that could achieve temperatures of up to about 1200 degrees centigrade, a temperature hot enough to smelt and cast copper. And it's no coincidence, and very interesting, that copper and bronze vessels soon became an all-important mark of elite status in Longshanoid society. Just like the Sumerians of Mesopotamia, just like the Egyptians or the Aztecs of Mexico, as we will see, rank was validated with ornaments and possessions and clothing. And the possession, for example, of ceremonial bronze vessels were an important mark of prestige, rank, power, and wealth. And all four went together. Now, the lords of these Longshanoid communities also adopted a widespread practice which is highly distinctive of early civilization in China. And that is the practice of scapulomancy. This is divination, undertaken by applying heated implements to the shoulder blades of oxen and other animals, and also to tortoise shells. The notion was that the ruler would ask a question, and a priest would apply a heated rod or something to the shoulder blade, which would crack, and then he would read the crack and give an answer.